10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I spy with my little eye. How many times have you had to play that today? How many times?
Sterling, every damn night, from coast to coast. America's most peculiar radio host. When Sterling's on the air, the ratings are super high. And no program director can ever figure out why. Sterling, every damn night, from coast to coast. America's most peculiar radio host. Sterling every damn night.
All right, there you are. You have now experienced it. It only happens a few times a year, usually around long holiday weekends, but not always. But this one in particular, is when it's going to happen. It's when you're going to realize it. It's when the train of truth is headed right at you. And that light in the distance, you can't avoid it. It's coming at you. And you're forced to see the truth in this light. And it's terrifying. You see, like, it was first over there, it's about 100 yards away. And then it kept coming closer to you and closer to you. And you're like, whoa, but it's too late. You can't get out of the way. And the train can't stop. It takes miles for a locomotive to stop. And you can't move fast enough because you're in shock. You can't move fast enough because it's too scary. It's just, you're like, really? Is that it? Is this the moment where I have to see the truth? It gets closer to you and closer to you. And like, oh my gosh, did I do that? Did I do that? Really? I can't get out of the way of this. The train of truth. In a glimmer, without any filters, without flattering light, with beach sunlight coming at you, is the person you brought with you to the beach. And it's coming at you, and you hear, did you want diet or regular soda? Did you want did you want mustard on your hot dog? I forgot. It was 8 minutes ago. How could you forget if I wanted mustard on the hot dog 8 minutes ago? How could you forget? And it's coming at you, and you realize for the first time that that is not the body you dated the first time. That was not the first date body you're looking at. He's put on some significant affluence. Better than effluence, but that's only at the Jersey Shore. Coming at you, clear as could be, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize she looks like this now. I don't know if we would have gone out if I had, and same thing. I didn't know we would have gone out if I had seen him without a business suit on. This is really the first time I'm looking at him without a business suit. Hey, did you want more mustard? Did you want a beer? Did you want a beer, honey? You want a beer? And it's speaking. not only does it look like that, does he look like, who told him to wear his grandfather's swim trunks? Why is he wearing swim trunks? Why isn't he wearing a swim suit like the Italian guys do? Why, where's his Italian swim? Oh, it's best he doesn't wear one of those. Oh, my gosh. I told him it didn't matter how big it was, but it did. But now in this swimsuit, the whole package is becoming very disturbing. And you got to see the truth, lit by the train of truth, walking towards you. Did you want diet or normal Coke? Did you want diet or normal Coke? Which one did you want, honey? And then it comes and sits next to you. And you say, you lie. And you say, I don't want you this near me on the blanket while I'm tanning. Now, that isn't true. It has nothing to do with tanning. I don't want you this near on the blanket until I get all the sand off. That's not true either. You just don't want him that near you at all until you reconcile the reality of what walked towards you at the beach demanding to know if you wanted a beer. You didn't have that chance to reconcile. You need that time alone, that ADHD time alone, to reconcile that this is the person you're with. Not him over there, Craig. Not Craig or Kurt. All Craigs and Kurts are handsome. Who are you with? A Peter? You're with a Peter. Congratulations. That's your independence. We are not. Not only are we a independent nation, a constitutional democracy, a constitutional republic. We're a nation of independence. Independence. Every American is at root an independent soul who's going to do whatever they damn well please unless they invite you in. You have to be invited in to be part of an American's life. And now it has sat down next to you on the beach blanket. And this isn't quite what you signed up for. That was 28 pounds ago. I don't think Ozempic's going to work that fast to fix this by next Tuesday. And that's the train of truth. That's the moment that we get on long weekends. We're alone with the other long enough to really see the other and really listen to them. And as we listen to them, we're going, oh, would they just shut up? I wish they would just shut up. I don't need to hear all that talking. In fact, I don't need to hear any talking. I live my marriage on a need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know that. That's how the marriage is successful. The marriage is successful if there's actually no speaking.
My husband and I, we have a really happy marriage because we don't communicate. All our friends who love to communicate, now communicating with their divorce lawyers. I'm telling you, if I can give anybody one marriage advice, please, do not talk. Don't read these stupid books. They all talk about talk to each other. Do not talk to each other. Nobody needs to know what's going on in your head. You don't need to know what's going on in his head. Nothing good is going on in anybody's head.
It's Sterling every damn Sunday. Every damn Sunday for 11 years. 11 years with the most unique record in American radio. Affiliates don't drop us. That's because they forget we're here. But we are here live every Sunday night. Live. Is there any other show on the radio live right now? No. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Kettering, Ohio is the home of a wonderful AmVets post. Yeah, it's a good one. And the former commander is in a lot of trouble. His name is Danny Dale Gordon. Three first names, Danny Dale Gordon. Could be a NASCAR racer with a name like that. Could go to 30 years in prison because, well, He figured out how to embezzle over $600,000 from the Dayton, Ohio branch of that veterans nonprofit organization. He's 48. He knows better. Gordon served as the commander of the AmVets Post number 24 from January 2022 to May 2024, according to the indictment. He used a lot of the money to go to a very well-established Dayton area gentlemen's club. The name of that club is Lust. Lust Gentlemen's Club. And apparently, every time he went in to that club, he was spending between $200 and $900. That's fascinating. There were many a college student very excited whenever Danny Dale showed up. What's your name? Danny Dale. Can you call him Danny Dale? That's his given name. It's not Daniel. It's Danny. Danny Dale. Okay, very good. So apparently also went to Hollywood Gaming and Miami Valley Gaming, but he really had a great time at Lust Gentlemen's Club. Now, if you are going to go and steal over $600,000, one would think that you'd have an escape plan. Apparently, Danny Dale didn't think that far into it. Pretty girls, short thoughts. A lot of short thoughts. That's what I hear. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I talk about how the NYPD targets firework traffickers. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Body slams for candy. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's a live radio show coast to coast with Walter M. Sterling. And tonight, at the end of a long weekend, the traffic is the most important thing that you and I can talk about. Here's Charlie Traffic with Traffic Update. No, it's no joke. This is real traffic updates for you. And we will do it for the next 3 hours to make sure you don't get in a real mess. Go ahead, Charlie. Hi.
Hi there, Walter. Well, we've got a major problem tonight on northbound I-65 in northwest Indiana, the major route into Chicago from Indianapolis and points south and east. So what happened was an accident, and it's closed down northbound lanes right around State Road 10, and it's about 4 miles north of the Roselawn exit. I'm sure folks that are from northwest Indiana are familiar with that, if they travel I-65 a lot. Anyway, 65 northbound closed. Traffic cameras indicate quite a backup. If you can avoid 65 north, south of Chicago there, find another route if you can.
Charlie Traffic will break in throughout the show tonight, right until the end of the show, with major traffic updates. Summarize that one for us again, Charlie.
Yeah, one more time. I-65 northbound, updated as of just a few moments ago between State Road 10 and 200 Fifth Avenue up in northwest Indiana, just a little bit south of Chicago. And that's been closed down for quite a while. Avoid 65 northbound north of Roselawn, Indiana. You'll get home a lot sooner. Back to you, Walter.
All right, Charlie is going to keep track of the traffic situations throughout the country. Any really bad traffic situation, we will break right in. He will share it with us. If you are stuck in crappy traffic, call me and I'll put you right on the air. You can share it with your friends, save people a lot of pain and suffering. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. How many times today have you had to play I Spy with My Little Eye with the kids in the car? Good card games. I only am acquainted with two card games. My kids are not creative. They're tenacious. They're very obsessed with process, I'm sure. New games, don't know of many. The ones that I've gotten for my kids are this. I Spy with My Little Eye, and then the license plate game. But I've always thought the license plate game throughout most of the country is born to be boring because most of the license plates are going to be in your state. Every now and then they get very excited when there's a license plate from Quebec. Oh my gosh, a Quebec license plate. That's just insanely big news. But there you go. What have I got here? Let's see. Yes. No, you know, it's good to do show prep during the show. I think that's the main goal here.
Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. This is meant to be played on AM radio. Turn it up on your AM radio as God meant it to be heard. Was made for AM radio. It was built for AM radio. All right, 4th of July weekend, Walter M. Sterling live at 36 past the hour, 36 past the hour. From WGAN in Maine to KFBK in Sacramento. Let's just have a visual of that. I-80, the 5, the 101, I-4 in Florida, where people are always suffering because it runs east and west, but it says north and south. These are the pains. And by the way, you know, Florida is the only state that has a river that runs from the ocean into the state. It doesn't go out to the ocean. What does that do to mysticism in Florida? There is Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood with a report on the movies, and of course the 3 and 4 day holidays are a very big deal to the Hollywood community. It's how they make all their money. How did the films do this weekend, Mateus?
Well, would you believe it? The box office meter, for some reason, is not functioning right now, so we don't have a count of what the box office are. I'll have to get back to you next week on that, although we do have an estimate. We have an estimate that the re-release for the 41st anniversary of This Is Spinal Tap, Rob Reiner's masterpiece of the music industry and a great satire of it with Christopher Guest and others, is estimated to, in re-release, make 138 K this just on one day alone, which is pretty good for a re-release. They think U.S. and Canada will do about $1.1 million. But that's the only estimate. I can't tell you how Jurassic Park has done, who I'm going to talk about in just a moment, at this time. However, I was thinking, as you were talking about the road trips and all of this weather, the games you used to play going down the road, the license plate game, all those other games. We were very poor, and the radio didn't work in our car, and we would go and sing songs down the road. That was one thing we liked to do. My mother was always singing Tom Lehrer songs she remembered from the 60s, and we would memorize them, and some of them were very catchy. And you can imagine my embarrassment later in life, walking in as an 8-year-old to some roadhouse and singing the old Dope Peddler at the top of my lungs. You know, it made for some funny faces for folks going into the restaurant. But anyway, that was one of the road games we did.
Were you knifed?
What's that?
Were you knifed?
I was knifed. No, I was not knifed.
Yeah, thank you. No. All right.
No. No, I was not. And therefore, I am here to tell about it.
Yes,
but
right.
The other thing we used to do is we'd go down the road, and years ago, there used to be these Burma Shave signs, you know, which would have these little phrases on sticks. And by the time I was growing up,
No, go ahead. You're really old if you remember Burma Shave signs. I only know them from Warner Brothers cartoons, so I will just have to believe you.
Well, there were these signs that were rhyming signs, and at the end it would say Burma Shave, which of course was a shaving cream lotion. It was an advertising gimmick, and they were funny little couplets that went down the road. But we never saw those because, of course, they faded away in the 50s. But what we saw were the stakes that used to hold the signs.
Really?
Because they had a very typical design, and they were about every quarter mile. And as a result, we used to make up our own rhymes going down there on what the Burma Shame side might have been. And, of course, they were all naughty and quite fun. But anyway, I'm digressing from movies. And, of course, the big movie this week is, in fact, the Jurassic World Rebirth. And that's from Universal Pictures. David Cope returns to pen the script based on at least one character created by Michael Crichton so many years ago. This time, the story set 5 years after Jurassic World Dominion. And Big Pharma wishes to obtain DNA and blood samples from the live dinos that have been living around the Earth's equator to hasten medical research for human heart disease. Already, it's a little bit ludicrous. Anyway, international laws prohibit human travel to this region. Why? Because people will be eaten by the dinosaurs, obviously. Yeah. And so the Big Pharma wants to hire a few experts, one of which is a big mercenary played by Scarlett Johansson. Now, I've always liked Scarlett Johansson, and she is accompanied by an anthropologist played by Jonathan Bailey, who was recently in the movie Wicked. Anyway, on their way there, they respond to a distress call of a sailboat that's capsized by seagoing dinos. A family aboard is rescued by the team, but must go against their will with them, so they won't delay the expedition. So now, they're all pursued by more historic sea creatures. Their craft is run aground, and it's everyone for themselves. They try to survive and get samples from these large dinos. The movie is predictable in every sense, Walter. And Scarlett Johansson's great personality, and is the only thing that holds it together. It may be a fun popcorn movie, but I'm just going to say that Jurassic World Rebirth is still bored. It just shouldn't have happened. It's in 3D in some theaters, which might make it a little bit more palatable. Now, in all honesty, I have to be open-minded about this. At the screening I was at, there was a woman in the front row, and she was screaming and kicking in her chair as if the dinosaur was there and about to nibble off each appendage. So, for some people, it must have been wonderful. I'm going, this isn't what it was when we saw Jurassic Park first time. That was actually scary. We hadn't seen dinos like that. We loved that little shot of the glass with the water, with the concentric circles, you know, pounding as the dinosaur got closer. That was scary. Now it's just so commonplace that we dismiss it. As a matter of fact, in the movie, the anthropologist at his museum, he's got a display of dinosaurs, and he has to take it down and cart it up because it says, nobody's interested in dinosaurs. They're so commonplace. Nobody's interested. Well, I think that's probably the case with this picture. But what I've heard is that it started very slow last Wednesday because they opened it early for the holiday, and it's now starting to build and get some more money. Don't know if the 3D or the flat, that is to say non-3D versions, are pulling in more cash, but I'll have a cash report for that for you coming up next weekend.
You thought it was a boring movie, this new Jurassic Park movie, right?
I did.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson, when asked about being cast in this movie, she said, you have to understand, I saw the first one when I was 8, and I've always wanted to be a part of this world. She was 8, and now she is 40. Matthias, Boom Boom Hollywood, how do I find you on Facebook?
Matthias Bombals Hollywood on Facebook, MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood like the city. One more time, MATIASBOMBAL. Hollywood, like the city. I thank you very much, Walter.
And you and your family in the big DeSoto, you sang Tom Lehrer songs. Is that what you said? Tom Lehrer songs?
Yes, Tom Lehrer songs. So that should give you an idea of why I'm mentally corrupted now.
Well, it's part of it.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican rag. Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. There the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make a cross on your abdomen when in Rome. Do like a Roman. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see ya. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican rag.
And when that came out, it was absolutely scandalous. My friend and I went to his basement. He played it, hoping that his mother and father didn't know that he had the album, Tom Lehrer doing the Vatican rag. Rebellion. Those are the roots of rebellion. This is freeform radio. What? Yeah. Guys like me who do shows like this, we don't have formats. We don't have playlists that are approved by corporate. We do whatever we want. Just think about that. Whenever you hear a talk show on American radio.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling and he's always right. Hey, hey, hey. It's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling. Right. When he comes on the air, the misfits love it, but the bosses get scared. Hey, 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 it's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. He's not all that friendly, but he can talk all right. So be here, here for Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night.
Feel the You're dough, mean. Eat the dough, JB Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Yes, you can hear me every damn night on the Audacy app, AUDACY. I'm on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast, 6 nights a week. Just think about that. There's Father Drucker and Selena Ballerina, who's the manager of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. And the reason that Selena is on is because I have tremendous respect for entrepreneurs. There's and the unique thing about the JB Bakery is it's run by Selena and Steve, and they're young. And when you think of bakers, you think of Chef Boyardee. They don't look anything like that. Selena is a beauty pageant girl. She's a pageant girl. Let's think about that. A pageant girl. Abby Lee Miller. Think about that. And she's a competitive ballerina. And there's Father Jim Drucker, a 45-year-plus priest who's not going to tell us any boring stories tonight about his dinner today and his lunch today. For God's sakes, what are you thinking? We don't know who that was. We don't care who that was. I want you to think of a more broader topic, Father Drucker. He's a retired Catholic priest, and he works in the VA system, and he's a great man. Now, there was much trauma throughout America this week. There was much excitement in terms of, gee, am I going to have Medicaid or food stamps or anything? How do you feel about this, and what spiritual guidance do you want to give for people who are imagining they're going to have problems?
Walter, we have to have a contact with our God, with our Lord, and we have peace. We pray to God, our Creator, and we can solve everything if we place our hands and trust in Him and follow His direction. And this was our anniversary of 249 years of the greatest nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. A country that has people of different color, of different faiths, no faiths. And it's wonderful, 249 years, and I'm proud to be an American. And God bless America, and just keep close to God.
When that doesn't work, I keep close to brownies. And Selena, how are the brownies selling at JB Bakery this week?
The brownies are definitely selling extremely well, especially when they're covered in red, white, and blue sprinkles, as are the blueberry crumble donuts, which are my favorite thing that's out right now. If you love New Jersey, you'll know that it's Jersey blueberry season. So they're super fresh and just the most amazing thing you could put in your mouth.
Are they Jimmy's or sprinkles?
So that depends on where you are from. I always grew up saying sprinkles, which is controversial, but I think everybody says Jimmy's. I think it's a Jersey thing to say Jimmy's.
You're right. I call them Jimmy's.
Now, I understand that they are rainbow sprinkles, but chocolate Jimmy's. I believe that's how some people parse it, that the chocolate ones are Jimmy's and the rainbow ones are sprinkles. How do you feel about that? Both of you, please. It's a very important question.
I've heard
Selena,
that.
Go ahead.
One of the most controversial posts we ever put up on Facebook was asking what people thought. And there's so many different takes on it, and I guess everybody has kind of a different feeling on that.
Well, what's your feeling? That's all I care about. What's your feeling,
Walter, when I was a soda jerk,
no, Jim, nobody, Jim, hey, you're a broadcaster. You're supposed to know. Just wait for Selena to answer, and then I'll come to you. Now, Selena, like, how do you feel?
I always call them sprinkles, unless I'm talking to customers, and I call them Jimmies because I think they all call them Jimmies, so culturally, I have to say Jimmy's.
Now, is it Taylor's ham or pork roll?
I always say pork roll.
Now, Father Drucker, Father Jim Drucker, a Navy veteran. He was in Desert Storm. He was in Desert Storm. And Father Drucker, what do you call them, Jimmy's or sprinkles?
When I heard them called sprinkles the first time, I was amazed. I said, what's that? I was a soda jerk in high school, and when I was giving out ice cream and the Jimmy's, we put Jimmy's on top. This is since the 60s.
Do you see violence breaking out over this debate?
Absolutely not. No, I can handle it either way. I'm sure Selena can as well.
Now, there was trouble in Wildwood, New Jersey, a major shore town for the people who live in Philadelphia. Did you witness any of this violence? Were you surprised by the violence? Because whenever there's violence in Wildwood, New Jersey, I'm never surprised. It was one of those places my mother would never let us go. And the reason my mother from North Jersey would never let us go down the shore to Wildwood was, quote, it was dirty, end quote. She perceived it to be dirty. How do you feel about that?
Selena, I don't know anything happening this weekend personally, but I used to go to Atlantic City back in the 60s when I was a theatrical booking agent and Wildwood, and they were both wonderful places where we used to book a lot of great acts, recording
arts.
But
that was the 60s. That was the 60s. That was 60 years ago.
I always vacationed in Wildwood growing up. And we would stay in the Crest and not North Wildwood, and we were definitely not allowed to walk alone. And we actually stopped vacationing there because it was a little dirty. So I do understand that. I'm not really surprised that there's violence. Of course, I'm sad about it. And I just wish that everybody would, you know, stay safe and just be aware of your surroundings, I think, is the most important thing.
Now, is Selena, is it because they're eating too much sugar from JB Bakery? Do you think that gets them riled up?
I think they're not having enough sugar. I mean, I think if everyone had a blueberry crumble donut, they'd be just fine and we'd be all peaceful and happy.
There you go. All right. Selena from JB Bakery, Father Drucker from the Lord. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, is this exciting for you? Are you having a good time? My phone number is live at 855-839-1210. Do you call them Sprinkles or Jimmies? Sprinkles or Jimmies? Sprinkles or Jimmies? Live, 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz who proved a little too big for the room in the radio biz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great, but his bosses were all idiots and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew.
With Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories and all the rest. Here on Sterling every damn night. Here on Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling, it's 8 minutes past the hour. It's a live radio show. You're driving. That's why we have live traffic. Charles Traffic, please fill us in on the latest traffic situation in America.
Right now, the big problem is in northwest Indiana, Walter. All of northbound 65 lanes just north of Roselawn, up near Chicago, they're all blocked because of a crash. And now, probably a rubbernecker or something of that effect, we have a southbound crash in the same area, and the left lane is closed southbound. So recapping, all northbound lanes of I-65 closed on the way to Chicago over near Roselawn, and one southbound lane is closed because of another crash, the left lane. And more traffic the minute it happens on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Yes, and it's an embarrassment that you and I are the only ones sharing traffic information throughout America. Everything else is pre-recorded. The Bitcoin show, it's just an incredible embarrassment. Marsha in California at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, live line, Sterling every damn Sunday. Hello, Marsha.
Hello, Sterling. Hello. Live on the radio every Sunday night. I'm thrilled to hear live radio.
Bless you, Marsha. How may I be of service to you?
Well, I'm listening to you on KSCO radio in California.
Great
Michael
radio
Sterling
station.
Has a great radio station here.
We love him. He's a special guy. And
I'm trying
understand
to tell him he's great. You think so too?
He's creative. He's innovative. And he just renovated his station, the physical plant, and it's supposedly beautiful.
Yes, that's so true. I'm trying to tell him he should know his greatness.
Exactly. What can I do for you, Marsha?
Well, who needs damn cell phones anyway?
Exactly.
They get in the way.
You know, what's interesting is that every cell phone call ends with, hello, hello, hello.
Well, if I drop my landline, I might be that person too.
Marsha, do not make the biggest mistake I made besides not buying land in Malibu. I got rid of my landlines. It was the dumbest thing I could have done.
No. I yes. tell everybody, no. Now I'll know that you did it too. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for being empathetic.
Well, how you won't get it back. Do you want to hear my cell phone jingle?
By the way, you won't get it back. You will not get the landline back.
No, that's true. That's literally true. I need a landline, and when no one else has a landline and there's an earthquake, my phone will be working.
Exactly. You're way ahead of the curve again.
every time you spot the trend.
Oh, I'm a trend watcher. You know why? Because I'm a nurse and I watch trends. Trends in the body, what they're eating and what's coming out, because I'm a poopologist. And I watch for trends. And I see a trend that we're losing live radio.
It's gone. On the weekend, I'm it.
But that's why I'm listening to you. I could record you and I could listen to you again and again.
And I hope you do, Marcia. And I'm very grateful that you called. And I'm very grateful that you listen. And I thank you for listening.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Here's my short, very short cell phone jingle. Okay. I make a commitment today. I'm going to put my cell phone away for part of the day. And I'm not going to charge it at the head of the bed overnight. I'm going to have less stress. I'm going to let my cell phone rest. It needs
poet
a little
laureate.
Music, doesn't
it? You're a poet laureate. You're a radio... Now, here, I have an assignment for you, Marcia. You ready for your assignment?
I'm ready.
I want you to compose a poem every week, and I want you to call it in at this time every week. I'll put you to the front of the line. You're going to read it on the air. Will you do that for me?
Don't you have that guy already wears a funny hat?
Too many funny hat guys. I have many funny hat guys, not enough funny hat women. Thank you, Marcia.
Oh.
Thank you very much for calling Sterling every damn Sunday. My phone number is 855-839-1210. When Charlie has an update on traffic for you and me, he will share it with us because that's what radio is supposed to do. Do you know I deal with a lot of people who are like C-minus students who have no prom stories? It's a whole industry of people who are C-minus students who have no prom stories. Did you go to the prom? No, I was at the transmitter that night. I was hanging out at the transmitter. That's terrific. You were heating pizza on top of the transmitter, and you never met a girl until you were 29, and that's because your mother made you go out with her. I got it. I understand it. There are so many idiots in radio who say, well, you know, I don't know why we're given traffic reports when you can get it on your phone. Yeah? I don't know why we're doing weather when you can give it on your phone. Oh, okay, so I'm just going to hand all of our audience to a phone. We're just going to collectively, as geniuses, say, oh, these vital services radio provides, we're going to hand it over to the phone. And then when Congress threatens to allow the motor companies to take the AM band out of the car, we go, oh, no, we're vital. We're a vital service. Well, are we or aren't we? See, I believe that there's nothing like radio. And I believe also that you're going to believe what you hear on the radio live and urgent sooner than you're going to believe what you see on your phone. Because, you see, the thing is with the phones and that streaming crap, it's all new tech, and we're interesting as human beings. If the radio doesn't work, it's that damn radio. Why isn't the radio working? I'm going to have to take it to the dealer to get it fixed. Meanwhile, if it's streaming and it says buffering now, we blame ourselves. With new tech, if it doesn't work, we say, gee, I guess I didn't know something. I gotta ask my 14-year-old how to fix that. There's an amazing new window air conditioner. No, I'm not kidding. And not a sponsor. There's an amazing new window air conditioner. Brilliant. And one of those, why didn't I think of this? I'll share that with you coming up in seconds. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shop. Walmart. Sterling Shop.
Many people who are not natives of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky have problems saying the name Louisville. That's how they pronounce it, Louisville. Not Louisville, not Louisville, not, Louisville. Louisville, that's how they say it. Well, 18-year-old Tadrian Gray was in an amazing Walmart on the Dixie Highway. And he just couldn't stop himself from digging into some Kit Kats. Do you know who does not like Kit Kats? communists, everyone else, Kit Kat's top of the chain, top of the food chain for candy goodness. And Tadrian Gray was just going to town. Well, a Walmart associate came up to young Master Gray and said, "Hey, you got to pay for that." Master Gray became enraged and began verbally berating the employee as he was leaving the store. He's just walking out. And young Master Tadrian, he walked back inside and punched the employee twice in the face and then body slammed her to the ground. From what I understand, it's a she, her, not a she, they. A she, her. Smacked her around pretty good, body slammed, and then walked out, picked up by the cops because good people inside that Walmart went and grabbed Tadrian Gray, who probably weighs a grand total of about 110 pounds. As of this moment, according to court documents, Tadrian Gray has only been charged with robbery, not smacking the associate and body slamming the associate. Number one, that associate has some pretty good workers' comp claims. Number two is that Tadrian Gray should be charged with the assault of an associate. The associates are some of the finest people in the entire world. Body slamming a female yet blue-vested hero is, well, inexcusable. For the people of Walmart with a black eye, I'm Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
He's the master of the radio. He's even got his own show. There's nothing that he doesn't know. It's Sterling every damn night. His studio is the laundry room. He isn't into gloom and doom. You cannot call him on Zoom. It's Sterling every damn night. Observant, conversant, very fervent. So put on your radio and warm up some hot cocoa, 'cause things are about to get loco on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn Sunday. Grateful to Michael Ewing in Florida, Sebring, Florida, Phil Zachary at WGAN covering all of Maine, David Yadgaroff covering all of the Northeast from WPHT in Philadelphia, Paul Woodall at Talk 1300 in Albany covering all of the crooks in Albany. It's just an honor. Now, let me tell you about this new air conditioner, McVeigh. Let me tell you about this new air conditioner. It's one of those, oh, why didn't I think of this? There's no greater hell besides your mother-in-law than installing an air conditioner, even a light window air conditioner, one from China that's $140 and weighs about 10 pounds. Even one of those is a pain in the neck because you have to fight with the storm window, and the storm window never wants to go up and it never wants to stay up. And you think it's you. It's not you. It's the rust in the storm window. Don't even think it's going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. They have finally, it's like, oh, why didn't I think of this? They have invented an air conditioner that is a U shape. It's a U shape. It isn't one square box. It's a U. And all you have to do is lift it up over your windowsill and set it down, and it's installed because it's a U shape. It's thin at the top in the middle, and it has two ends. The guts are on the outside, the venting and the fan are on the inside, and in the middle is this beautiful U-shape opening. Anybody can install it because you don't have to install it. You just have to put it on top of your windowsill and it slides in. Oh my gosh, why didn't I think of this? It makes me want to go out and buy 10 new air conditioners. Absolutely brilliant. There's a trait among Americans, which is that we like to do things on our own. We like to be our own person. We are raised this way. We are raised to not ask for help. It is part of our culture to not ask for help. Tough it out. Men are more guilty of this than women. Tough it out. Get it done yourself. You can do it yourself. You don't need any help. Huge mistake. The biggest gift that you can give somebody is a request for help. If you need help, the biggest gift you can give most people, the right people in your life, is to say, I need help with this. And the right people will say, oh, no problem. I'm happy to help. Not an issue. There's a person in my industry named Amy Bolton, who's one of those respected leaders of the industry. She's very respected. Every time I see her, she's an aura of respect, and she's always tall. Every time I see Amy Bolton, I go, oh, yeah, she's really tall and respected and serious when she has to be. But there's this aura of no nonsense around her. I've known her for 30 years. And all Amy had to do was call and say to me, hey, Walter, my daughter has recorded some songs. Do you want to hear them? And I would have said, oh, sure. And through some circuitous way, I found out that her daughter, Emily Woodhull, forgive me for pronouncing it wrong, has recorded some songs. And I said, well, I'll play one on my show. Let me listen to it, make sure it's not horrible. I listened to it. I went, this is a pretty good song. Emily Woodhull lives in Virginia, and she is in love with Virginia. And you're probably driving through Virginia right now. I heard this song from Emily Woodhull, Woodhull. I'm like, this is a great song. Don't hesitate to ask for help.
When I came rolling in, you opened up your doors and took me in just like a friend. You didn't know where I was from. You didn't even know my name. But you treated me like one of your daughters just the same.
Walter Sterling every damn Sunday. And you see, it doesn't matter.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's 36, 37 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling, this is a live radio show, a live radio show. Please dial around, find another one. I'll send you $10 if you can find another one. My phone number is live at 855-839-1210. Charlie Traffic is monitoring the traffic throughout the country. And when there's a major traffic delay, he will bring you up to date. And if you're sitting in traffic and you're ticked off, boy, do I want to hear from you. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. If you've come up with a new car game better than I Spy with My Little Eyes and the license plate game, if you can do better than those two, I'd love to hear it. Because right now, millions of Americans said, let's leave early this Sunday and not get caught in traffic. And you said that on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then today, what did you do? Well, it was so nice, we left a little later. Yeah, it was so nice, we left a little later. And then you made the mistake of letting somebody else fill the trunk, and that took much longer. Oh, we forgot that. It's on top of the refrigerator. Oh, I forgot that. It's in the medicine cabinet. Oh, you know what happened. Check the pockets of your swimsuits. I think it must be in one of the swimsuits. You know what happened. You know how this goes. And then what'd you do? You left at 9:28, a half hour before I went on. I'm on from 10 to 1 a.m. Talk 1300 in Albany. Hi, I'm on for another hour after this. Talk 1300 in Albany. I'm on till 1. It's scheduled to be on till 1. Paul Woodall, one of the great broadcasters and a good friend of this show, great friend of this show. Paul, it's on till 1. The audience of Albany demands to know why it isn't on till 1. In fact, millions of other people would like to know. I have poison ivy. I bring that up at a random time because you can probably go, oh, I've had that. Yes, I have poison ivy. And there are certain things that hold great mystique when you're a kid. Think about it. There are things that you learned about as a kid and you're like, that's amazing. And one of them was poison ivy. You learned about poison ivy. You said, wow, that's so amazing. And then you were taught the horror of poison ivy, which is you must not scratch it. And if you get it, you must wash your clothes immediately because the oil from the poison ivy, you can give it to other people. And then when you were 11, when I was 11, I thought, well, let me test this. Let me see if I can give the poison ivy to somebody else. Somebody else down the street. We didn't have a block. In the suburbs, you're down the street. In the city, you're on the block. We were on a street. So on my street, I thought, well, maybe I can give the poison ivy to someone else. The other horrors of poison ivy are don't scratch it. It's supposed to keep it cool. It can be wet or dry. There was, when I was a kid, you were supposed to keep it dry, but now they say it's all right if it can be sort of moist. I thought I had mosquito bites, and that's very dangerous. If you think you have mosquito bites and it's really poison ivy, you've got a big problem. Because you're treating it like a mosquito bite, and that's the worst thing to do to poison ivy. If you had poison ivy, how'd you get rid of that? How long did it take to go away? I've had it 3 days now. And it doesn't seem to be growing, but it does not seem happy. And I think maybe it's mixed with some mosquito bites. These are summertime blues problems. These are the summertime issues. Poison ivy, spider bites. But when you're a kid, there's great mystique around poison ivy. Over there, don't walk over there. It's poison ivy. The word poison is so much bigger. When I was 10, that word was so much bigger. Poison ivy. Ooh. Downstairs in the basement, in the cold spot on the basement where your father was allowed to have a workbench. One workbench, 10 square feet is all your father was allowed in the house. That's all he was allowed. He'd go down there for hours to be at the workbench. He'd be working on stuff at the workbench. And there, above the workbench, in a bottle was a skull and crossbones label. He had a bottle of something that was poison. You never knew what it was. He didn't tell you what it was, and you never saw him move it, but it was there. Your father had a bottle of poison. Other things that caused great mystique to a 10-year-old. I was a kid, see. And a friend of mine, Charles, said, I know where there's quicksand.
What?
Quicksand was an enormous, mythical formation to an 11-year-old. Quicksand. I want to see the quicksand. Because in Warner Brother cartoons, when we would see quicksand depicted, Elmer Fudd was sucked into the quicksand, chased there by Bugs Bunny. And it seemed to suck him down pretty fast. And then I'd read about quicksand, and there was a lot of speculation about what made it. And one of our theories was that it was perfect round balls, little miniature ball bearings in a pit with oily substance. And it would just suck me down. And then once you were in the quicksand, you were going to die. Well, of course, I had to see that. Charles and I went to see the quicksand. We went there. And we dared each other to put our foot in. We were afraid that one foot in the quicksand, we'd be sucked in and go where? To China. Every 11-year-old believed that every hole in the ground would lead to China if you could just dig it far enough and get past the molten earth. If I could get past the heat of the center of the earth, I'd dig a hole to China. The Soviet Union actually dug the deepest hole ever, and they couldn't get past the crust. Did you know that? They couldn't get past the crust. And it was about 3 miles down, and it's still there. It's never been filled in. And they didn't get down to the next layer. They were still on the mantle of the earth. But then as they were digging that, again, my 11-year-old brain went to, well, if they dig too far, they're going to split the earth open. It'll crack open. And we'll all die. Kids have many theories about digging holes. And then if the parakeet died or the fish died, what'd you do? You had to dig a grave for it. You had to dig down for the... You had to dig down and bury the bird. You had to bury the toad. You had to bury it. And then what happened? 18 months later, you went, you know, I'm going to dig it up. I want to dig up the bird. I want to dig up the parakeet and see how it's doing. How it's doing. Yes, let me dig up the parakeet bones and let me see how it's doing. As a paleontologist at 11, I wanted to know exactly how that was. But there are so many things that as a kid, we have no context for. And among them is quicksand. Like how, what? And, or... we had no context for the quicksand. We had no context for digging a hole to China. Like, that was a viable option. Another one was going under the house. Did you ever go under the house when you were a kid? If you lived in the suburbs, many kids, I certainly wanted to go under the house. But there seemed to be something, some dust or something under the house that would give me an instant rash, and my mother would know, what were you trying to do out there? Were you trying to go under the house? You can't go under. It's filthy under there. You are not going under the house. And if you, the other one, oh, and I was so stupid. I did this in a community that has sewers, water sewers. You look down there, and it's really not that deep. And I'm like, I think I could go down there and stand on that ledge. There was a ledge between the opening down to the water and the top of the sewer. It's about 6 feet from the ledge to the top of the sewer. And I actually dropped myself down there onto that ledge. I don't know what the hell I was thinking because I didn't know what that ledge was made out of. I was certain it was solid and would save me. But these are things kids do. We have great mystique about sewers, quicksand, and digging to the center of the earth. It's Sunday night, July 4th weekend, live radio show a live radio show throughout North America from Sacramento to Maine, Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night, the car is alive, neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about fireworks in New York City. Now, as a young child growing up in the Bronx, my parents forbid me from playing with fireworks. That didn't mean they didn't get into my hands. The family across the street from me would put on a Gucci-like fireworks display every year. The following morning, when my parents went to work and I was under the supervision of my aging grandparents, my brother and I would go outside, collect all the duds, and put them in a garbage can in the backyard. Then I would go to a gas station, get 50 cents worth of gas, and blow the thing up. Needless to say, I paid the price for doing these things. Later on in life, I become a member of the New York City Police Department, and early on, the NYPD really didn't do anything with fireworks. I mean, unless someone was being a real pain in the butt, we tended to look the other way. We didn't confiscate them, we didn't give out summonses, we left it alone. Well, that all changed when Rudy Giuliani became mayor of New York City. Rudy viewed fireworks as dangerous, but more importantly, Rudy knew that the New York City Mafia was heavily involved in the trafficking of fireworks across state lines. He knew that was a bloodline of cash that went into their coffers. And I learned this probably around 1994. I was in the narcotics division, and I'm dropping off some prisoners, and I'm cutting through Little Italy, and I see guys in wife beaters with 55-gallon garbage bags filled with fireworks selling it right on the corner. They sounded like the beer man at Yankee Stadium. Roman candles here, firecrackers here. So later on in my career, when I was in the auto crime division, the NYPD began sending detectives out of state to these firework emporiums. And we would sit on the places and run license plates. If someone pulled up to one of these places and their car was registered to the New York City area, we would follow them back to the city and arrest them. So one day my partner and I was sitting in a motel parking lot, and the owner of the fireworks emporium comes over and starts cursing me. He's telling me to get out of the motel parking lot because he doesn't want us there. While he's yelling at us, these two meatheads from Long Island pull up in a van that they've taken the seats out of, and they begin filling it with pallets of fireworks. We blow off the owner of the firework emporium, and we follow these two clowns into New York City and wind up pulling them over by Yankee Stadium. In total, they probably had about $10,000 worth of fireworks in that van. The same weekend, two guys from my office pulled over a box truck they followed from Pennsylvania filled with fireworks. When the van came out of the Holland Tunnel, they pulled it over, and inside was an NYPD cop riding shotgun who flashed his badge to try to get his friend out of trouble. Needless to say, they both got arrested for trafficking fireworks across state lines. For more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Law and Disorder.
She's angry that there's a lesbian in the WNBA. Is someone going to tell her?
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling.
A show is a show, as we all know, but there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Dom Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow. It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling every damn night.
I am fascinated, as you are, by this Gwyneth Paltrow. This week on her podcast, this is what she said. And this goes to show you that you, no matter how good you have it, you have very different priorities than Gwyneth Paltrow. Very different. I recorded this week's solo episode of the podcast from my hotel room in Naples, a city I first visited 25 years ago while filming The Talented Mr. Ripley, during a time when I felt incredibly lost. I always find it interesting when a place doesn't quite feel right. She's talking about Naples in Italy while filming a feature film. Who is she there with? If I can, I like to go back and try to understand why. In the case of Italy, it wasn't until I returned with
Brad. When we were dating, I started the process of healing my complicated emotional relationship with Italy. Eventually, I fell so deeply in love with it that we bought a little cottage in Italy, which has become a second home to us. It's what I love about travel, the way it can surprise and expand you. I hope this episode stirs something in you too, maybe a memory or a pull toward a place where you might meet a version of yourself. Gwenny travels to meet new versions of herself. Isn't that incredible? She'll go to one place where they call it Jimmy's and another place where they call it Sprinkles, and then she finds that new version of herself. A complicated relationship with Italy. If I had a relationship with Italy, it would not be complicated. It would be, thank God I got a vacation. Thank goodness I could afford to go to, oh wait, I need to resolve my feelings about Italy. I'll buy a second home. And buy a second home in Italy. And go through all of that paperwork and all of those taxes. Oh no, I won't have to do that. Because I have a lawyer who would do it. That's what Gwenny would say. Meanwhile, I would have to do all the paperwork. I'd have to pay all the taxes. I'd have to handle all the strange expat accounting. But Gwenny had a complicated relationship. How the hell can you have a complicated relationship with a place when you just went there to do work? I'm Walter M. Sterling. Every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
If you're in a traffic jam, I want to know. The number is 855-839-1210 live. 855-839-1210 live. Yes, live traffic updates, keeping you safe and moving. Charles with the traffic report from America. Go.
All right. Looks pretty good all over the country tonight. The one big problem area we've got is northbound I-65 just north of Roselawn, Indiana, on the way to Chicago. About a pretty good stretch is shut down northbound. In fact, all northbound lanes are shut down. And a rubber necker or somebody also was involved in a southbound accident. Left lane is still closed. But the main problem, all northbound lanes, 65 on just north of Roselawn, Indiana, still shut down. And more traffic the minute it happens on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Where's Dave Scott? Let's talk to Dave Scott.
Sterling every night, lost in space, mission control.
Now, do you have a statue of Nancy Mace, Congresswoman Nancy Mace from South Carolina? Do you have a statue of her in your home? She is obsessed with UFOs and UAPs, just the way you are, Dave Scott.
Both her and a statue of Anna Paulina Luna are standing in my studio. And I have sent them both to their congressional offices and got them autographed.
Life size?
Yes.
Inflatable?
No.
Sad.
I
Dave
know.
Scott, how about a summary of the things that happened this week with UAPs? Because there was a lot of news, Dave Scott, from Canada, host of Spaced Out Radio. You can get it at spacedoutradio.com and on YouTube, every episode of every show we ever did. Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Thank you, number one. It is always a pleasure to share the airwaves with you. Yeah, for some reason this past week, there has been a lot of uproar within the congressional community about UFOs / UAP once again. Of course, Nancy Mace was hinting that, you know, we got to get a little bit more serious with the transparency on this. Eric Burleson was as well. And Anna Paulina Luna actually had a really stern word that she put on X earlier today, and that was that she was saying that the cover-up by the military and the intelligence community is getting a little ridiculous on this subject, and that's why everything keeps stalling, is because the military and the intelligence community really aren't sharing their information with the Congress, who are initiating conversations with this. She went as far on X to call out Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, as well as Tulsi Gabbard, who is the Director of Intelligence, in order to try and put some pressure on them, saying, hey, what are you doing here? We are fellow Congress people who are asking questions about this. You're not returning it. And if you are returning it, you say you'll get back to us. But your people who are working on the inside are not giving us the information that we need. So there seems to be this real anger building around this subject in Washington, D.C. right now.
How do you feel this is going to end up? Because my feeling is that it will end up the way it usually does, which is nothing's going to happen. And my suspicion about why nothing's going to happen is that what all these UAPs probably are military aircraft that the military does not want any other nation to know that we have.
And Walter, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. This is why they got rid of the term UFO for UAP. Okay, UAP, for people who are wondering, stands for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, which means if you see a bird on radar and it doesn't make sense, it's going to be a UAP. A child's birthday balloon that gets let go and flies off into the stratosphere, okay, that would be considered a UAP. And this is where, you know, the UFO community is very divided on this because, you know, the UFO community wants to be, you know, up to date on everything. And they keep up with this UAP this, UAP that. I've never bought into it personally. I think it's a pet peeve of mine about it, but that's for another night. Okay, the reason why they go with UAP is so they can hide the technologies under UFOs. Now, the former head or assistant head of the Aero program, the UFO program at the Pentagon, Timothy Phillips, he actually stated publicly a couple weeks ago that this UAP stuff is mostly ours. We're hiding our technology under it. Now, for a couple of years, I have talked to sources within that have had intelligence experience, and I said, look, in my estimation, there is a difference between UFO and UAP. UFOs, we don't know what they are. They're from somewhere else. UAP, man-made objects. And every single one of them has agreed with me. But the UFO community has bought into this UAP jargon, and it hasn't been for the benefit of the community, that's for sure, because it allows the government and the agencies an out to hide the black ops projects that we don't know about, that are actually flying in places like Palmdale, California, or Edwards Air Force Base, or Area 51, or Wright-Patterson in Ohio. So this is how they are able to hide and disguise everything under the UAP banner. And don't think for a second that the military, the contractors, and the intelligence community, they love it, Walter, when they hear somebody call in a UFO report or a UAP report to the government, to whatever agency it is, because that way, if people think it's a UFO, that's good business for them because it covers their secrets.
Did you ever have poison ivy?
I've never had poison ivy.
I hadn't either, but I have it now. I thought it was mosquito bites, and then for 2 days I treated it like mosquito bites, which is the worst way to treat poison ivy, and I have poison ivy, which means actually a more shocking fact. Would you like to know what that is?
I need to know this.
I was actually weeding the garden.
Oh, no.
I know. It's way out of character. It's off-brand. I'm sorry. I apologize, but nature took its revenge. And I have poison ivy. How do we find Dave Scott online?
You can always find us at Spaced Out Radio on YouTube, spacedoutradio.com, our website. If you want to get a hold of me, info@spacedoutradio.com.
info@spacedoutradio.com. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Let's dance in space.
On the moon. You are a surprise. I don't want to be a surprise.
Sterling every damn night from sea to shining sea.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every day, because I'm just so excited, and I just can't wait to get married.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Like, never. I'll care when it comes, but I don't even have a girlfriend right now, so I choose to think about other more important things.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every day, 24/7, because I just have it all planned out. I mean, why not think about it?
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Do you still not dream about your wedding day?
No. Also, none of the guys here do either.
They don't?
No, they don't think about it.
So they just don't believe in love.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Low-key every day. I feel like the vibe I want is like a long sleeve, like lace dress, probably outdoors, maybe in the fall, not too cold.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Every time I open Pinterest. Lots of flowers, lots of pastels. Outside. Definitely want to get married outside.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
Oh, every day. I have a Pinterest board.
What's on it?
Rings, dresses, venues, bridesmaids' dresses.
How often do you think about your future wedding?
I actually never think about it. My teacher just brought this up the other day.
No boy thinks about their future wedding ever. They don't even think about it a month before the wedding. It's an inconvenience to us. And besides, the woman we marry, the guy we marry, they're going to spend more than enough time on it. And summer in the Midwest, oh my God.
Here are some unwritten Midwest summer rules. There's no such thing as an open weekend, just one that's already full and somehow fits in a grad party, boat ride, and trip to the Dells. If your sunglasses fall in the lake, mourn briefly, then move on. It's the circle of life. If you took PTO, I don't care if the temperature is 52 or 102, you're sitting outside all day. There will be construction. Just follow the detour and hope the guy in front of you knows where he's going. It's never too hot for a bonfire. That's quitter talk. These are the days we wait for all year, and yes, we're going to squeeze 6 months of joy into three. Oh, and one more thing. It's called bats.
The Midwest summer. You know why it's great to be an American? Because Sydney Sweeney is selling soap partially made with her bath water. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney with the breasts. She's selling soap that's partially, really, that's made with her bath water. And here's Sydney Sweeney's best acting tip.
Is it hard to act while I'm not wearing clothes?
No.
You don't find you get, like, nervous?
No. I think that I have gained so much confidence and self-awareness through Cassie. I think that the female body is a very powerful thing. I think that, for me, I'm telling my character's story. And so I owe it to them to tell it well and do what needs to be done.
That was important. I think we should listen to it again.
Is it hard to act while I'm not wearing clothes?
No.
You don't find you get, like, nervous?
No. I think that I have gained so much confidence and self-awareness through Cassie. I think that the female body is a very powerful thing. I think that, for me, I'm telling my character's story. And so I owe it to them to tell it well and do what needs to be done.
It's about 22 minutes past the hour. You and I don't fit in. We are midnight misfits. And if you want to know, Rebecca Canner, you're listening to me? If you want, Rosemary Furlong, hi. Marion June Riley, Neil Paul, welcome. Midnight Misfits. If you want to be an official Midnight Misfit, you need a membership card. Go to, I'll tell you how to get it. I'm not mailing anything. You can get it right now. It lists what you have to do to be a misfit, what your membership entitles you to, plus a secret decoder. And when I give out secret messages, you can decode them. You get it at WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. I have an email. I answer the emails unlike other idiots. WalterMSterling@Gmail, WalterMSterling@Gmail. Got it? WalterMSterling@Gmail. One of the greatest mysteries of my time is that in our economy today, you can afford an air conditioner. For $140, you can get an air conditioner that will do a 10 by 12 room, no problem, in any weather. $140. You can install it yourself. It's light. You get it from Walmart. $140. Or you can go crazy, go $175, $180. Get one that does two 10 by 12 rooms. Why wouldn't you do this? It's 90 freaking degrees. I go to my in-laws. I had to go to my in-laws over the July 4th holiday. It became not a holiday when they said, well, we're going to go visit my mother. I said, you what? We're going to visit my mother. What? We're going to visit my mother. Oh, no, 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 no. And her central air is broken, and it's been broken for many months. And I said to the rich kids, you know, your parents' air conditioning is broken. It'll be about $8,000 to fix it.
Thank you for letting us know, she said.
Okay, it wasn't fixed when I visited. They have one huge air conditioning unit, one of those from the 60s that weighed 400 pounds, cost $4,000. That's a window air conditioner they have in the dining room. It works really well. But it's from the 60s, and therefore it makes a little noise. It's 95 degrees out where they live, 95 degrees. They wouldn't turn it on. They had it on, and then when everybody came over, all the kids, the in-laws, the cousins, all the sweaty people, they wouldn't turn it on. And these people drink. I don't drink, but these people drink. They start with three dirty martinis. I'll have a dirty martini. They start with three dirty martinis, and then they start drinking wine. They're drunk all the time. They don't feel any heat or cold. And it's interesting. When people start drinking, they can't talk about anything new. They can only talk about the past. They can only rewind tapes. I have heard the same stories my entire marriage. I don't want to hear these stories. Never once has any one of these drunks said, how's it going? What are your kids? How's it going in school for your kid? How's that? Nothing. Never. It's always, and grandma, remember when grandma used to do this? She died 22 years ago. 22 freaking years ago she died. But the air conditioner isn't on. The reason it isn't on is it makes a little vibrating noise. It's not a loud air conditioner by any means. But my father-in-law and mother-in-law are wearing hearing aids. And as a result, they don't hear anything anyway. And the little vibration from the air conditioner totally deafens them, apparently. They can't hear a thing. I don't think that's true at all. She's always saying, oh, I want to be able to hear all of you. I don't want to hear any of you in a 95-degree room. If I put an 8-year-old in a 95-degree room, I would and should be arrested for negligence and abuse. Therefore, I'm sitting there with negligence and abuse. Why am I having to put up with this? 95 degrees. I left, but I have to prepare my show. That's what I always say. I've got to go now and prepare my show. That's what I say. Right? That's how I escape. Anyway, 95 degrees in this room, and they won't turn it on because it vibrates a little. I know. Why don't you move to a different room? Why don't you go into the living room and turn on the air conditioner? At some point, it'll start to bring cold air over to us. The thing I will never understand, and this isn't just my in-laws, although it's usually my in-laws, I don't believe that that's the real reason. I just believe they're cheap. I don't believe they want to run it at high blast for 3 or 4 hours, 12,000 BTU. Maybe it's an 18,000 BTU. When I used to have apartments, I always bought the highest BTUs allowed by law. Just bought them, ran it, got too cold. You know what you can do? You can turn it off. Oh, my God, what a concept. Yeah, if it gets too cold with the air conditioner, you don't have to decide to not run it at all. You can, if it gets too cold, turn it off. People are so stupid. Boomers are so stupid about air conditioning. It isn't that much. Bad news for you. It doesn't cost that much. But the misery that no air conditioning or turned off air conditioner will cause other humans is inexcusable. You are selfish sons of guns if you don't turn on that air conditioner. Don't make me come into your house when it's 90 outside and you don't have any air conditioning on and I can see it. I can see the thermostat. I can see the window units. I can see them.
What am I supposed to do? What is the etiquette? How am I supposed to say turn on the air conditioner to a friend, a stranger, somebody I don't even know, non-relative? How do I say that? What is wrong with you? Turn on the freaking air conditioner. Or should I go over and do it? Should I go over and say, how does this go on? What do I do here? How does this go on? WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. Sterling every damn Sunday.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. All right, first Florida story, there's a viral video that shows a bull at a rodeo gets upset, escapes from his pen, and then starts running through the crowd. Whee! And it's easy to forget that Florida is very much part of the South. See, that sounds like something that would happen in like a Texas or a Georgia or a Tennessee, but no, that can happen in Florida too. You want to hear some of it? It's fun. Check this out. This is just great. There it goes. All right. Just jumped over the pin and now it's in the crowd. Oh my goodness. And so people are trying to run up the bleachers and the cow can't go up the bleachers. So one of the cowboys in the arena goes and ropes him from inside the arena over the fence. Good times.
Wait,
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Venus. There's the Florida Gator Gardens, where a Florida man who works at the wildlife park and trains the alligators lost his hand. No, it wasn't in a car crash or in a wheat combine or something. It was a gator. You're never going to guess. His excuse was the gator got distracted by a leaf or something and clamped down on his left hand when normally he had never done that. Well, of course he'd never done that before, or you wouldn't have a left hand. The x-ray is absolutely brutal. It looks like it snapped his bones like a couple of chicken sticks. This isn't the first time he's had a problem. In 2013, he almost lost a hand in a similar incident, but he says he plans on healing up and getting right back to work with gators again. Dude, you didn't learn your lesson? You almost died. You lost a hand. You're going to go work with them again? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't ask for a whole lot in a workplace, but I prefer to work in one where you can't be eaten by a dinosaur. Hold my beer.
What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Valrico. What you have is a family of six, mom, dad, four kids. Housing's getting expensive, so they think they found a pretty good deal here. There's a rental online that's listed for $1,350 a month. Wow. And it also includes utilities, cable, Wi-Fi, and water. Wow. So they call the listing and the guy says, yes, if you want to go check out the house tonight, go ahead. I can't be there tonight, but the code to the front door is yada yada. So they go and they put in the code and it works. And they check it out and it looks amazing. It's not that big, but it's big enough for their family. And what a deal. So then they talk to the guy on Facebook Messenger again and they say, hey, let's get on the phone. So he gave him a phone number. They called him. So now they're talking to a human being. This is all starting to sound real. So they give him a call. He says, here's what I can do. I can go ahead and send you a lease that you can sign via email. I'm going to need a security deposit and first month's rent. And he got paid through Zelle. That's sort of like the PayPal or Venmo for Chase, you know, the bank Chase. So when he got the money and the document signed, they officially, on the paperwork, looked like they were supposed to move in. So they moved in. All seems legit. Well, they've only been there 2 days and the air conditioner breaks. So they call their landlord. Hey, can we get this fixed? He gets very irate, asks them to pay a service fee to send a repairman out there. They check the lease. That's not what the lease says. So they go do a little more digging and this guy doesn't even own the house. So here's how this scam works. A guy goes and applies to get a lease on a house. He gets turned down, but now he has the code to the front door. So he goes and makes his own listing on a different website for the same thing, gets the money wired directly to him. And now the family has gotten a letter saying they need to vacate immediately or the law will get involved. And of course, this is a bummer for them because now they have nowhere to go. I would think maybe they could just rent it from the people who actually own it, but That would be too easy, wouldn't it, Florida? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going over to Port Richey, Florida. We're on Interstate 75. A young, happy couple was hauling butt. They ended up going about 95 miles per hour in a Honda Pilot. A cop clocks them, pulls them over, walks up to the car. When the window rolls down, just a big, nasty weed cloud wafts out of there like Cheech and Chong. So he's like, okay, get out of the car. Gonna have to search you here. So he calls, and before the other car even gets there, he's already found a little baggie of some white stuff. What is this? So the 28-year-old Florida man says, man, I don't even know. He's like, well, quite often when I find little baggies of white stuff, it turns out it's drugs. 28-year-old Florida man gives up so easily. He says, yes, it's cocaine. Florida man, what a disappointment. Now, I mean, we're disappointed that you had cocaine, but also that you gave up so quickly. Come on, man. Make him earn his dinner. Don't just give yourself up. So disappointing.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
a dinner. For our next Florida story, you remember the Parkland shooting? Well, you don't need to remember the details of it specifically, but a Florida man kept leaving dead animals at the memorial for the Parkland shooting. And if that's not just sinister and demonic enough, how psycho do you have to be? This 29-year-old Florida man has now been arrested, not just for the animals, but also for posting online that he's going to do a mass shooting. And if you think we're being a little hard on him, this is one of the worst, freakiest mugshots ever. This is not hyperbole. He has the imprint of a skull tattooed over his face. You know, so there's like big circles around his eyes. And then around his mouth is, you know, the teeth. I mean, the guy looks like pure evil, and he doesn't even brush his hair well. And on top of all that, if you even just want to make yourself look as bad as possible, he has a mustache and a mullet. Bro, why are you growing a mustache? You're covering up your sweet skull face tattoo. How hard is it to score with chicks when you have a skull tattooed on your face? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Seminole County, where there's a bear with a jar stuck on its head. And we have some video of it and a couple of good pictures of it from people's cell phone. And it's absolutely cuter than it even sounds, because it's a baby bear. They don't tell you its age, but it looks about as small as you've ever seen a bear. And it looks like it has one of those giant plastic containers that the giant cheese balls come in. If you go to like a Sam's or a Costco or whatever. And so it's a giant one of those plastic. You can tell because there's some dents in it, so it's not glass. And this cute little bear has its head stuck in it. And yes, everyone's thinking the same thing you're thinking. Winnie the Pooh. It is adorable. But the problem is they try and catch the guy so they can take it off, and they can't catch him. So the bear's disappeared in the woods. And so there's sort of a public alert going on in Seminole County. Hey, can you help us find this baby bear so we can get this plastic jar off its head? It's so cute. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
And for our last Florida story, this is just a great soundbite from this is what court sounds like in Florida. And I look, part of me feels sorry for this judge, because he's sitting there hearing the case of some woman who can't even speak English. So she's sitting there and sobbing and telling this horrible story. And there's a translator that's trying to convey the information to the judge, and he's trying to pay attention to all of it. And, you know, just weighing the balance of people's lives. And some guy comes in the back looking disheveled, making all kinds of noise. The door slams behind him. He starts talking to the guy in the back. Hey, where can I sit? Does it matter where I sit? And everybody can hear him. And so the judge loses his temper a little bit and gives him a good cussing.
Pero es un efecto de
agua. Everything's
fine. Hold on. Sir, I'm doing something. Can you shut up and sit down?
Absolutely. I was trying to find a seat.
That's not shutting up.
No le dejo escuchar.
You want to be held in contempt and go to jail?
Voy a hacerlo.
I asked you a question.
No, sir.
Then shut up.
No, look, I know the judge is in the wrong. You can't call a guy a-hole in your own court. Dropping F-bombs is, I'll recommend against that. And really, I figured court in Florida would be much worse than that. I don't know, like a snake pit or a trial by combat. Who knows? Maybe dueling. Maybe cases are settled by a cockfight.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm spelling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, The Hummingbird and the Hawk. The sultry notes in her voice stirred something inside him. Gavin glanced at his watch to calculate how much time they had before their dinner reservation. We have a couple hours before we're due downstairs, so here's what I'm thinking. He downed half his glass in one gulp and set it back on the table. You enjoy the champagne and the view. I'm going to investigate that tub I was talking about. As he inched around her, he brought his lips close to her ear. Don't wait too long to join me, though. He kicked off his shoes and left them next to his suitcase. Inside the bathroom, an oversized tub took up almost half the space. He turned the faucets on, running his fingers beneath the water to check the temperature, then investigated the contents of the closets and cabinets. A stack of thick towels sat on a shelf, and he pulled out two and set them on the sink. After reading the label on one of the small bottles he found, he uncapped it and poured the contents into the tub. Foamy bubbles appeared in the water, filling the room with a floral scent. He took off his clothes and left them in a folded pile on the other side of the sink. Taking care not to slip on the tile, he climbed into the tub, wincing when the hot water hit his skin. Little by little, he lowered himself into a sitting position, the tension easing out of his muscles as he adjusted to the temperature. When he reached for the handles to turn off the water, he saw Olivia standing in the doorway. She had changed into one of the white fluffy robes provided by the resort and held a champagne glass in each hand. "I figured you wouldn't mind the refill," she said. He leaned back, resting his arms along the outer ridge of the tub. "Not at all." She set the glasses down on the flat tile bordering the edge. As Gavin picked one up, she tugged on the ties of the robe, letting it slide off her shoulders and cascade to the floor. He sipped the champagne, enjoying the way the bubbles tickled his tongue while he took in the sight of her exposed curves. The fragrant foam came up to her collarbone as she sat opposite him, tucking her legs to the side of his. "Let me know if the water's too hot," he said. "It's fine." Exhaling, she tilted her head back. "Better than fine. This feels amazing." "You deserve it. We deserve it." Beneath the surface of the water, he rubbed her knee. "We've been working hard lately, and I can't wait to get you all to myself this weekend." Olivia twirled the stem of her glass back and forth between her fingers. "You'd better be careful," she said, a smirk curling her lips. "I might start expecting something like this every time we win a high-profile case." He returned her sly expression. "You just might be worth it." The sudsy water, sparkling champagne, and the close proximity of her body to his all mingled together to send a rush of heat spreading throughout him. Once he finished his drink, he reached over and yanked her wrist. "I don't know why you're sitting all the way over there. Come here." Her eyebrow flicked upward, the half-smile remaining on her face. "Maybe I didn't want to spill my champagne." "It's not like we have to clean it up, and we can always get more." His grip on her tightened as he repeated his demand. "Come here." The tub was large enough to allow her to maneuver without wasting a drop of her drink. She settled between his parted knees, reclining against his chest as the water sloshed around them. He wrapped his arms around her and brought his mouth to her ear again. "Much better, don't you think?" She took another long, slow sip. Yes, Gavin, you're always right about everything, she teased. Glad to hear you say so. While Olivia nursed her glass of champagne, he skimmed his palms along her torso, gliding across her slickened skin. Her head dropped back against his shoulder when he neared the outer swells of her chest, but she said nothing. He continued his languid caresses, never venturing too close to any sensitive spots, yet he noted the subtle strain in her breathing. Though she couldn't move too much in her current position, the slight twist of her hips ignited another pulse of arousal. He increased his pressure as his hands roamed over her. Ducking his head, he planted a series of feathery kisses on her neck and shoulder, matching the rhythm of his deliberate strokes. A soft whimper resonated from her throat. Gavin took the empty glass away from her and placed it beside his. Oh, I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Hummingbird and the Hawk, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Even my zipper is falling for you. Yeah, it is. Just kind of happens sometimes, I guess.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brook, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Yarkaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production. A great way to end your day, Sterling Every Damn Night.